Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a wee little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic axles, big ol' axles are in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and joining me in the Snail Trail Studio once again is Mr. Jimmy Jet. Mr. Jet Jims, Jimothy James Jimmy, how are you?
I am doing very well.
Thanks. You are doing very well.
I am.
You're not doing good?
I'm doing fan-freaking-tastic.
Fan-freaking-tastically well.
Yeah, my tummy is full.
Your tummy's full? Oh, yeah, we did just finish lunch. Mm-hmm. What'd you have?
I had a carnitas super burrito.
Nice.
Yeah, with hot sauce.
With hot sauce? You would?
Of course.
I had nachos with no hot sauce.
You would. Actually, you put those hot sauce on typically.
I typically do. I forgot to today.
Yeah, so I'm impressed. Because I was trying that red one. I put that red one on. It has a little bit of a kick to it.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Mm-hmm. My trick to using those hot sauces is that I spread the sour cream over the top of it as well.
Yeah, so it neutralizes it.
Exactly. Get the flavor without the heat. It's nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a happy Thursday to everybody out there.
Yeah.
Guess what today is? Thursday.
It's your birthday.
The day after.
Oh, the day after your birthday.
The day after my birthday. Nice. We're recording, I think. I'm not for sure. So I saw this post on social media from Bomber Fabrication.
Okay.
That said it was Randy's birthday. And Mr. Slauson was having a sale on all his chassis kits from today, April 5th, through April 15th.
Oh.
So I'm like, which day is his birthday? Because I'll need to send him like a little mini body bottle of Fireball just for shits and giggles.
To say happy birthday.
To say happy birthday, yeah.
That's a good idea.
See what
I'm
he does.
I'm sure he would love it.
He'd probably return to sender with a note in there. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, and just the other day was National 4x4 Day.
It was.
April 4th.
Mm-hmm. I missed that one.
I did too.
Yeah.
I didn't know, didn't even put it on my register until somebody tagged me in a post. It said, happy National 4x4 Day. I'm like, yeah.
I missed Pi Day too.
Oh, did you?
I was upset about that one.
March 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is it? May the 4th is coming up.
That is true. We'll have to put that one on the calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll actually just be getting back from Moab right before then. So are you all set and ready for Moab?
Not even close.
Yeah, me neither. Actually, I'm kind of getting there.
I had a hard time sleeping last night, and so I started writing down things.
Did you wake up with a hurt ankle?
No. Oh, no, I just was having seizures from my phone still.
I was just going to ask, how's your phone working over there?
Well, hopefully by the time this airs, I will have a new phone. But I wrote down a list because I was laying around and I was just thinking of everything that I want to get done for both the trucks before I leave.
Both the trucks. Okay.
Yeah. For Clifford and for Bobcat.
Mm-hmm.
So Clifford, I want to change fluids. And then I said all of them.
Okay.
I want to see if I could possibly add a trans cooler. And then if I do, I want to see if I can add gauges. And I need to figure out if it has an exhaust leak or not, or if it's, the truck's just really that loud all the time. Also, I possibly am getting some shocks from Shock Surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some Bilstein 4600s like we were talking about.
Yeah, buddy.
So if those come in, I think that would make towing a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So if that all works out, I hope to be able to put the shocks on there beforehand.
Nice.
Then for Bobcat, my list is, it's actually not that bad. Let's see. Change fluids.
Uh-huh.
All of them.
All of them.
Which I don't know if I'll do all of them, but I need to at least do the engine oil.
Yeah.
Front brakes, which includes calipers, rotors, and then the, there's something else on here. What is it? New rotors, new calipers, and new soft lines.
Okay.
For the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then I need to work on the front axle by replacing some of the wheel bearings and possibly seals and stuff that were on that hot side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe new tires, maybe some sort of bead locks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put my seats in that have been sitting around forever and a day. And I want to get the spare third member built so that I can have a spare third member to bring a spare third member with us. So yeah, so that's for the most part my list of things I want to try to get done in 3 weeks.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. The good the biggest good luck one would be the intercooler, trans cooler on the Clifford. So I don't know.
I don't know, man. That's a lot to do in 3 weeks.
I know.
So
regardless, I need to do brakes.
Yeah.
And work on that front axle. And I want to change fluids on both of the vehicles, and that's probably the minimum.
Okay. Yeah, all I just need to swap out my T case. So my T case, I rebuilt my old one. It's all put back together.
Cool.
So I just need to essentially take out the T case that's under Kermit right now and then put in the rebuilt T case.
Got it.
And then put fluid in, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of the big thing. I was thinking about trying to do the clutch while I was in there. Supposedly the clutch is 2 years old, about 5,000 miles on it, maybe. So it shouldn't be going out. And Beer Andy told me one of the ways you test it is get going about 30 miles an hour and then put it in fifth gear. And if the clutch does not slip, then the clutch is just fine. It's something else.
Okay.
And so I did that and it wasn't slipping at all, but it's still making a weird noise. So I don't know what it's hitting on or rubbing on or what something I was hitting or rubbing on. I don't know. It's really strange.
I thought the 4Runner was in pieces.
My 4Runner?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's drivable right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you had already torn stuff out.
No, not
to try
yet.
To get ready to do the T case swap.
No, not yet. I've just been building the spare T case. So, yeah, anyway, so I don't know. I don't think I'm going to redo the clutch. But after driving for a while, my power steering gets really hot and the pump is not happy. And this was happening the last time when I replaced the power steering pump. And I think what I need to do is just replace it again and then do put on a whole power steering cooler into it. So I think I may or may not try and tackle that and get that done before the trip as well. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a big one too.
Yeah. So right now, definitely swapping out the T cases, and that's probably as far as I'm going to get. If I can get further, I'll try and do the power steering as well. But, yeah, I've noticed the power steering pump only really gets super hot if I'm driving the rig on the roads, on the highway kind of thing.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So if you're on the highway, you're not really turning.
You're having a lot of steering input though, back and forth to stay in the lanes with 40 inch tires on highway 80.
Maybe. Yeah. I would think that crawling to some extent would make it hotter because it's not, you know, you're turning and cranking it and using it. I don't know. I guess.
It doesn't seem to whine as much when I'm just crawling around. So I don't know. But anyways, so that's on my to-do list for, Moab. Other than that, just the oil and the F-150. So, I'm going to do a oil filter relocate though.
Are you?
I'm going to finally relocate the oil filter on that thing. Cause it's in the stupidest position location. So I'm waiting for that to come in before I do the oil. But anyways, yeah, that's all my to-do list. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Not too bad. Let's see how much we both can get done.
Yep. I got about 3 weeks, 2.5 to 3 weeks. So
thanks for reminding me.
So let's get into some updates here for back end housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
Shall we?
We got a lot of information to talk about
today. We do. Yeah.
Mainly about Patreon and iRate 4x4. So that's going to take up a good chunk of things. And then later in the episode, we'll probably talk about birthdays. We'll talk about reviews, some voicemails, and the Tesla property.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
So let's start with Patreon.
Patreon's dead.
Patreon is dead. We shot it. No, I'm just kidding. It's still up and running. But what we're going to do is we're not using it anymore for any of its original intended purposes, right?
Yeah.
So doing the giveaway or the gift box tier. But we realize that some people still want to support the podcast and they would rather do it maybe through Patreon, or some people just don't want to deal with the hassle of moving stuff over. So we are going to eliminate the 10, the giveaway and the gift box tier and just leave the Snail Trail access tier essentially.
So that tier will be open, but we're not really going to be counting it towards anything.
So, well, it doesn't count towards anything. It gives you access to the Facebook group. It gives you access to the tokens, which all that token information is now going to be up onto iRate 4x4. And then it gives you access to our discount codes.
Yep. So that will be all that Patreon is going to have available there. If you want to continue for the giveaway, monthly giveaways that we do, or the gift box, you need to sign up over on iRate. So if you are currently signed up on Patreon and you need to sign up over on iRate, just cancel your Patreon subscription so you don't get double charged for stuff. And we cannot cancel you. So make sure you get that canceled when you go to iRate so you're not getting double charged. We did have some questions come up about whether or not people were getting double charged during this process.
Right.
Yeah. What's the answer?
No.
Correct.
But yes.
No.
No, you're not getting double charged. So the way that Patreon works is once you signed up, they don't charge you until the beginning of that next month. Mm-hmm. So if you signed up on, you know, January 2nd, you don't get billed until February 1st.
Correct.
So since they bill at the beginning of the month for the previous month, everybody that had entered into the giveaway for March is getting billed in April.
April 1st.
Mm-hmm. You got billed for March.
Correct.
And then when you sign up for iRate 4x4, it immediately charges you for when you sign up. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting double billed.
Correct.
You are getting hit
You're getting billed twice, once for March, once for April. It's just happening within a couple of days of each other rather than spread out a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I forgot, one of our patrons reached out to me and I actually sent them what Patreon sends me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it says this, you know, here's your total you received. And I washed that out. Mm-hmm. And it says, here's your bill that you received. You should be fully paid up through April 5th.
Yeah.
Right. So everything from April 5th back has been fulfilled. So correct. Everything going forward in April, nobody has technically paid for yet.
Correct. Yep.
On Patreon.
Yep.
So yeah, I hope that clarifies that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So really the gist of it mm-hmm. is, excuse me, Patreon pay, you get billed on Patreon for the previous month and you get billed on iRate for the current month.
Correct. Yeah, you're billing on iRate. You will have an anniversary date rather than a day that everybody gets charged at the same time, right? A monthly bill date. This is an anniversary date. It keeps track of your anniversary date whenever you sign up. And that's the day you get billed on. As long as that anniversary date falls within the month that we are doing the giveaway, then you'll be entered in the giveaway.
Correct.
So,
yeah. Another thing that people have been asking me about is if it's better for us if they sign up annually compared to monthly.
Yeah.
And it's very smallly. I don't know. It's a very fractional,
minuscule,
beneficial for us because of just how it gets taxed. But there's no there's no advantage to us. The benefit for you guys is if you'll get hit once or you get hit every month.
Every month, yeah.
You know,
and once a year or 12 times a year, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, it's Patreon takes out the 2.5 to 3%. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're taking out 2.5 to 3% on a monthly fee or the 2.5 to 3% on the annual.
You mean
fee?
PayPal, not PayPal. Patreon. Yeah.
Sorry, PayPal. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I concur on that. So yeah, whatever works out easiest for you guys and is whatever you prefer, that's what route you should go, monthly versus annual. So the nice thing about moving over and doing this is that it's anniversary dates. So if you go annual, you are only paying for the actual year that you're using it rather than paying for the year up to the point, which is weird because they don't do that on monthly. And so I was like, I didn't understand what their thinking was there. So, we will be moving forward over on iRate. And as long as your anniversary date, your billing date falls within the month and you pay sometime during that month, then you will be included for the giveaway. And we'll continue doing the giveaways the first week of the next month for the previous month, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So like the first Thursday.
Exactly. So the giveaway for March, which is the Weeby Knives K-Bar knife, is getting done today, the first week of April.
Right.
So
unless the first day of April is a Thursday.
Correct. Yeah.
throw that out there. But yeah. So we did the giveaway for the K-Bar knife donated by Weeby Knives and the sheath from Dip Bandit Concealment.
Mm-hmm.
And who won? Number 48?
It was number 48, Mr. Jeremy Borja.
Jeremy Borja. Congratulations. We'll probably be sending you a knife off here in the near future, or reach out to us and tell us to hold it if you're coming up this way soon.
Yeah. If you want to come up and go play on the Rubicon, let us know.
Which they were talking about. So we'll
I know he does each year. So
yes.
So yeah, we have that K-Bar knife and the sheath ready to go for everybody, or for Jeremy Borja there. And then let's see, do we want to get into the gift boxes?
Oh man, I didn't even have that on our list. before I want to get onto the gift boxes, okay, I want to talk about Irate for a quick second.
Okay.
Just that, Tyler, if you are a patron, Tyler sent out an email with great notes and pictures and like red lined arrows and circles on the pictures of trying to make this process of switching over really easy on you guys. If you did not receive that
email, it's really not difficult.
It's not difficult at all. If you didn't get that email or you need your hand held, please feel free to reach out to us and we'll help you.
Yeah. I agree. If Brian Murphy can figure it out, everybody can figure it out.
So true.
Love you, Brian. So anyways, yeah, it's a very streamlined process. We've already had a lot of people showing up over on the Snail Trail forums on Irate 4x4 and, saying hi and that they were able to get everything set up just fine. So, I think that it's a pretty streamlined process if that many people are figuring it out. So yeah, but if you do have any questions on the process, feel free to email us. We will figure it out and answer them to the best of our abilities.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Gift boxes.
Man, gift boxes went out, man.
Yeah.
They did. I think we have one person who may have not received it by now, possibly.
Our American stripper.
Oh, maybe him too. So too.
Yeah, his is still in my truck. So.
Okay.
He hasn't got it.
Okay. So, sorry, favorite stripper. You're going to get to hear about it before we get into it here.
Depending on when we finish today.
Yeah.
I might be able to swing over.
Okay. Do we have the list of everything in the gift box?
No.
All right. I found the list.
Good.
Thanks to our super producer for sending that over here to me, to my computer screen. So, we had for the gift box this month of April, we had, let's see, 54 gift boxes went out.
Yeah.
In the month of April here. So
that was a feat.
That's a getting to be a little bit of a chore to put those together.
Well, the last one we had to do like 48 and I did them all by myself.
I know.
It's a pain.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your help this time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We may have to end up capping the gift boxes, how many we do. We'll see how many people end up signing up during April here, because gift box signups are open.
Yes.
So we also had some people that like left Patreon early and then tried to sign up over on Irate, and they're like, wait, what do I do? The gift box tier isn't open. We're like, I know. It's not open until April.
It doesn't open until April. Yeah, that was a snafu.
Yeah. So the gift box tier is open for the month of April. As of May 1st, it will close. So if you want to get into the gift box tier, I highly recommend doing it now, because it's looking like we're probably going to end up capping how many people get in here, because these boxes are a lot of work to put together, and we're not really making any money on them. No. So, we did a really good job this time. So every time you pay for the gift box, which is above and beyond, it's $10 beyond the giveaway tier, right?
Correct.
So you're paying over 6 months, $60. for this gift box. And we get that $60, and with the cost of the boxes and shipping out to you guys, we have to try and turn that $60 into $100.
We did that with, we turned it, just the products in the boxes are over $100.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we turned each box, the total retail value, we'll get to it at the end, but we did break $100 for you guys. So, we have in celebration of National Welding Month, we put together a gift box that is welding and fabrication themed.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, buddy. So, a lot of the stuff in there is stuff that you can very much use if you do any kind of welding, any kind of fabrication, any kind of wrenching on a vehicle. I'm sure there's something in here that you are going to be using in the near future. So let's go and start working our way down the list, shall we?
Okay. Well, all right. The first item.
First item is?
Is a speed square.
Yes. From Crescent?
From Crescent. Mm-hmm. And these are really cool speed squares because both Tyler and I have them. And what's neat is a typical speed square is like a 6x6 square. They can get larger or smaller ones. But this one has a foldable edge or a foldable side that it'll extend it to 1 foot. So it'll take, you can open the speed square up and it'll become a 6x12 speed square. Mm-hmm. So you can draw longer lines. You can make sure that things are square, you know, check it a little bit more precise because you have this long line out. It's just a really neat tool. Mm-hmm. The fact that you, and then you can still collapse it and make it a 6x6. So you can make it a, have a standard speed square, or you can make this longer version of a speed square.
Yeah. I use that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a really nice foot long straight edge that, you know, compacts down into a 6-inch long straight edge or square. So it's a really nice little piece of equipment that I actually used quite a bit this last week, and we'll get into that in a little bit here at the end
and
of
this. And I think a speed square is one of those things that there's so many different things you can do with a speed square that people just don't realize, you know, by find how to determine angles, how to, you know, check if things are straight or not, how to fabricate, you know, make sure you're fabricating things straight. You know, it's just one of those super handy tools to have when you're fabricating.
Yep. I never really ever used a speed square. I just kind of always eyeballed stuff.
Yeah.
And then everything I built was never squared. I could never figure out why.
Gee, I wonder.
And so It was when I was building my crossmember after I sheared my crossmember in Baja.
Okay.
My rear crossmember for my shocks. When we were rebuilding that crossmember with Hussman, that's when I really first started learning about the uses of a speed square. And I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Right.
This is going to make life so much easier.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I'm like, these are just awesome.
Yes.
So
I have like three of them.
Yeah. I've got, I think only two, but I use this one easily the most. So really cool tool from Crescent Tools, speed square that's expandable, extendable to up to 12 inches on one side. So
what's the retail value for that?
Retail value on that is $19.99.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next one down the list is a welding. Is it a welding brush? Is it, what's the technical name for it?
I think it was the crooked handle brush.
What did it say here? A curved handle wire scraper.
There you go.
So it's essentially a welding brush. So it's really, really handy. It's a really coarse metal fibers that are great for scraping away, you know, slag or flux after welding with flux core. So, you know, you chip the flux out of your, off your weld, and then you clean up the weld with a wire brush typically. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is used for. You can also use it to clean some paint off of surfaces if you don't have like a 60 grit sandpaper or something laying around. But it's a really neat little wire brush, extremely hard wires. It's not like a soft wired brush. So it'll work great for cleaning stuff and scraping things.
Yeah, it's great for just cleaning up the welds afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so the retail value on that guy is $9.61.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. The next one we have on the list is a drill brush from Gearwrench. Mm-hmm. And these are, this is a type of drill brush. You'd put it in a pneumatic drill. A cordless drill, rotary drill.
Mm-hmm. Handheld drill.
Yeah, it's not for like an angle grinder. This one, you know, it's more narrow. It's more fine. It's, you know, probably got what, an inch to an inch and a half of a diameter, you know, of all the bristles in it. And mm-hmm. so you can really get tight into some of those nooks and crannies of, you know, cleaning things out for before you do any of your fabrication. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a larger cup brush or wire wheel of some sort, you know, it's there sort of with the an angle grinder, it's hard to get into some of those mm-hmm. those harder to reach areas where this one can help you get in there. So,
yep. Giggity. So yeah, this one's really neat from Gearwrench. So it's called the Gearwrench drill brush, and that one retails at $16.07.
yep.
Yeah, so the next ones here are pretty neat. These kind of the next stuff down, we wanted to get in touch with a couple of companies and that had a really neat specialty, right? They specialize, they have a niche that they do business in within kind of the welding fabrication market. Empire Abrasives, I don't know if anybody gets their abrasive expendables from them. but I highly recommend it. They have some really good stuff there. Go check them out. But we got a couple of flapper discs and a strip disc.
Yep.
And what was interesting when we were talking to them about ideas for the gift box here, they asked if we wanted to do T27 or T29 flapper discs.
Yeah.
And both Jimmy and I kind of looked at each other. We were like, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what the difference
we
is.
We don't know. What do you guys recommend? And so, yeah, what was the difference there between a T27 and T29? Because I had no clue there was differences there.
Yeah, it's sort of the makeup of how the disc is put together, mm-hmm. where a T27 is completely flat. Mm-hmm. It's flat across the grinding surface, and a T29 has sort of a curve to it. Mm-hmm. So a T27 is better for some flat sanding. It's best used for like 0 to 15 degree angles, mm-hmm. And good for smoothing and blending of surfaces. Mm-hmm. And a T29, which is the curved kind of style.
It's like slanted. If you look at,
yeah,
if you hold the flap disc up like a pancake, you know, horizontally flat and look at the top of the grinding surface, the pads are actually slanted off the ends of the disc.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so they say that it's better for contouring shapes and surfaces, and it's more aggressive grind, and it's better for angles up to 15 to 25.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was really interesting. So essentially, if you are, you know, looking at, you know, just a cleaning off plating so that you can start welding somewhere, or if you're looking to maybe clean off your weld or something, the T27 would be the better one to go with. If you're looking at like beveling a surface in order to weld joints together or create a joint, then the T29 is the better way to go. Or if you're going to be like, you know, cleaning off a tube kind of thing, the T29 is the better option for doing that. So I thought that was interesting, kind of a little fun, little educational piece, yeah, that we got to learn from Empire Abrasives.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what was super cool about them is they're like, after talking to them, we've decided that why don't we throw both of them in the gift boxes, yeah, so that everybody can experience the difference.
Yeah.
So you guys should have received one of each.
Correct.
A T27 and a T29 and mm-hmm. a stripper disc. But mm-hmm. So now you can play around with a T27 and T29 and see which one you like better, see if there are advantages for you, if you like one or the other and you're never going to use the, you know, so that if you do go on to Empire Abrasives or go get some, you can, you'll know, have a better understanding of mm-hmm. what kind of abrasive discs that you are going to want.
Yep.
Also, I think this mm-hmm. might be a good time to mention that we have a discount code for Empire Abrasives.
What?
It's down in the show notes. I don't, mm-hmm. I think it's Snail Trail. I forgot what it is.
Snail trail, and then a number. Yeah.
Some number.
It's in the show notes.
It's on the website. So you guys can grab it. And it's, you get a percentage off of your sale. And, so this is a great opportunity for you guys to, once you do play with these and use them up, you know, now you can go and get some, more, what did you call them?
Expendables.
Expendables at a discounted price.
Yeah. So, yeah, really cool place, really cool guys. They were really neat to talk to over the phone, and, really wanted to step up and support the podcast and, do something fun for the listeners. So, you guys have, 3, expendable items through there. And, once you guys use them up, you can go back and get some more and say hi to Empire Braces for us when you guys are there visiting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in regards to the strip disc, it's actually a lot more dense than I expected it to be.
I was not expecting it to be as, I don't want to say hard as it was. Yeah. I think dense is the right word for it. Yeah. So yeah, that and the strip disc is something you would use to like strip paint off of your surfaces without damaging or risking damaging the surface you're taking the paint off of. So
yeah, it's, the strip disc is for removing paint, removing glue or other adhesives, cleaning weld lines or weld splatter, removing scaling or oxidation, prepping the body for auto body shops, removing surface slag from hot rolled steel.
Nice.
So it doesn't the stripping disc isn't necessarily going to dig into the metal. It's going to be removing things on top of the metal.
Correct. Yep. So the retail value of these was $2.20 per flap disc. And then the strip disc was $4.99, $5. So about $9.50 roughly, $9.40 right around there. For those guys from Empire Braces. And then we also have in the box for everybody a little knifey.
A little kniffy.
So this one was a really fun idea that, again, Derek and Ryan, Derek with Weeby Knives and Ryan from Bandit Concealment, got together and they're like, hey, why don't we do some of these knives and sheaths as well for the gift boxes? And I was like, you guys are on it, man. I love it. So it is they're like a little neck knife.
Yeah. It's like 5.5 inches total length with a 2-inch blade.
Yeah. Yeah. They're adorable. Really neat little knife, stout little blade too. I was impressed. I was like, for a knife that small, I was expecting less than what it was. And I was like, this is actually pretty freaking stout. Like you could do some serious damage and, you could definitely use it while out in the outdoors in the wilderness doing stuff. Oh yeah,
definitely. So. And then it comes on a little chain that's wrapped in a cool Kydex, sheath that was done by Bandit Concealment, fits the blade perfectly. Like always, whatever Ryan does over there just is fantastic.
Yeah.
And so yeah, this little chain, you can just throw it over your head. You can strap it to something. I think that has those little disconnects so you can, click it through something and wrap it up and, you know, can just dangle wherever you want to hang it.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So huge shout out to those guys for coming up with a really neat addition to the gift box this round. And then, of course, we have some pieces of candy in there for everybody.
The knife and sheath retail for $48.
Yep, $48 combined for all that, for that combo.
Mm-hmm. So that was a big chunk of the box right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So total retail value.
Hold on. There's another item.
Oh, there was one more. Yes.
10 millimeter
socket.
Impact socket.
Yep.
For you guys.
Did everybody get the impact one? Or
yeah, I believe everybody should have gotten the impact one. I didn't put those in there. You did it.
I just kind of grabbed because we had just have a big old box full of 10 millimeter sockets that we got from Gear Wrench. So I was just grabbing handfuls of them and throwing them into random boxes. Oh, random boxes.
You either got a 10 millimeter impact socket or a 10 millimeter random socket.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Gear Wrench Corey threw those at us one day and said, I'm harping and preaching about using impacts, so here you go.
Oh, that's funny. That's right. He does love his impact stuff. So yeah, the retail of that socket is about $2.20, $2.20, just depending on, I guess, which random sockets you got. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Were there any other items there?
Well, there was the candy.
The candy for everybody. Candy. Yep. Air fresheners.
Air fresheners.
There's a bunch of swag in there from Weeby knives, Empire abrasives, Bandit concealment.
Yeah, there's some money off on some products inside of there too.
Yep. $5 discounts towards whatever Kydex custom sheathing you want done with Bandit concealment and a couple other goodies in there for the other companies. So yeah, a really fun gift box. I thought it turned out really well. It went out on time to everybody.
Yeah, it went out early to some.
Yeah, it did. It went out early to a few. And we've already had a couple of comments that it's an extremely useful gift box this time. And I was like, I kind of agree. It has a lot of really, really useful items that, again, if you're doing any kind of fabrication or working on a rig or welding, anything like that, you're going to use probably all these items pretty soon. So total retail value of the box came out to about $105.
Correct.
So just over $105. So we turned your $60 into $105, and $9.50 of that was for shipping.
Averaged. Average $9.50.
So really,
to you.
Really like $40 or $50.50 we turned into $100. So
the benefit of bulk buys.
Mm-hmm. And some really cool relationships with some really cool companies too.
Absolutely.
That we've been able to build thanks to the podcast here. So
yeah, so let's just do a quick little shout out to Gear Wrench, Crescent,
mm-hmm.
Empire Abrasives.
Absolutely.
Weeby Knives,
mm-hmm.
Bandit Concealment.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss any?
And Snail Trail 4x4 for the candy and the air fresheners.
There you go.
Yeah. So some really cool stuff. Hopefully you guys enjoy all of that. Have you heard about our
no.
our one box, I our single box heard. Yet that we sent out?
No.
Okay. We'll keep you guys updated on that. We'll see if we even hear about it. So he gets to open his box via Zoom, apparently. So I don't know. There's been history of the box getting opened before the Zoom call.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
So I'm curious if that's going to happen again or if they're just going to Zoom call him and open it on Zoom with him.
My guess is they're going to open it before Zoom and then just say he never got a box.
That'd be fair. I can see that happening. All right, so we'll keep you guys abreast on that. And yeah, that's the gift boxes.
Yay.
Da, 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 da. What else do we got on the to-do list over there?
Birthdays.
Birthdays for, let's see, we've got FNGs for March. Was that correct?
We have an FNG and for April.
But we're doing the FNGs for March.
Oh, yeah,
and the FNGs the birthdays for March. For April.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because we don't know who signed up because of the way that Patreon works until mm-hmm. the end of the month.
Until the end of the month, exactly. All right, so let's see here. For March, 1 year birthdays.
Okay.
So, sorry, April, 1 year birthdays. We just had this talk, Jimmy.
April birthdays.
April birthdays, 1 years. We have Anthony Arguelles. Arguelles? Arguelles. I'm going to go with Arguelles.
Arguelles.
Do you confirm?
I do.
Okay, cool.
And let us know if you got your box.
Yes. Anthony Bradshaw.
Hey, Anthony. Congratulations.
And Summer and Tia Rhodes.
Summer and Tia Rhodes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Twins.
Twinsies.
Birthdays.
I'm guessing it's a couple.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And so that's the 1 year birthdays in April here, which has the same birthday as Tyler does. So congratulations, you guys.
He's still only one also.
I am also one. And then for the 2 years, we only have one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Only one. You know who this is.
Hopefully.
Well, he got an extra box. So. Oh.
Robert?
Robert. Mr. Weld's Taco is in the 2 year birthdays here in January.
You know how that happened, don't you?
No.
Because his was the box that we sent two boxes out early.
Gotcha.
And his was the box that sent out early.
Gotcha.
And then I did the front half of the labels.
The
and
labels,
then you did
yeah.
the back half and you just did it again. And what I should have gone in there and marked like these people already received theirs. Yeah.
Oh, well, he will be getting that back. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to ask for that one back there, Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll send you a label for a return.
Yep. Happy birthday, though. Happy 2 year birthday.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the support, buddy. We're actually going to be working with him on going through the Rubicon this year.
We are. And he's going to chop and do surgery on Charlotte, I think, beforehand.
Nice. That'll be fun. I want to see how that goes. So happy birthday to you four. Thank you for all the support. Hopefully we can continue it and keep doing some cool stuff and upgrading the show as we go along, like this new piece of software that is really, hopefully, crossing my fingers, is going to be helping us out this month with all the welding interviews we're doing for National Welding Month.
Yeah, we'll see on the next few interviews how it goes.
Mm-hmm. If you guys are interested in these gift boxes, the leftovers, because we ended up ordering enough stuff to make 60 boxes. And so that means we have about 6 boxes left over. We may end up using a couple of them to donate to a couple of fundraising events like a Rubathon with the TLCA, possibly maybe to a couple of other fundraising events here and there, but we will have a couple of boxes left over to purchase if you guys want. So if you're interested in grabbing one of the leftover boxes that we're going to have here, the gift boxes are going to be $85 over on Snail Trail 4x4. Just head to snailtrail4x4.com, go to the shop, and you'll see the gift boxes listed there. You can order one up and have yourself all the items that came in the gift boxes.
Yay. So that was all the birthdays?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next on this list is reviews.
I think we have FNGs to do stuff.
Oh, sorry. New birthdays.
New birthdays.
Do we have any FNGs from last month?
We actually did just a couple here. So because they got in before we started announcing the whole change over to iRate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have Jordan Burns and Betty White 17.
Oh, nice. Hey, Betty.
Yeah. So Betty White is actually local here in the NorCal area.
Yeah. She's mm-hmm. got a white 4Runner.
Mm-hmm. So Jordan Burns and Betty White 17.
Probably
so.
Named Betty.
Probably named Betty. Betty White. Oh, that's funny. Anyways, so that's all for the FNGs, the birthdays, the cool. gift boxes. What else do we got on the list over there?
Reviews.
So for reviews, or did you have something else there?
No, I want to interrupt you.
Interruptions.
Yeah, I'm waving my arms over here. Before we get to reviews, since we were talking about birthdays,
mm-hmm.
I figured I might give you your first of many.
First of many?
Tyler month birthday gifts.
Oh, man. I'm excited. You didn't have to do many. I would have been okay with just two.
Okay. I'll return the others.
No. You got to hold on to them for like Christmas or something. All right. So this is a box here.
It's a nice knife. What knife is that?
That's a crescent knife.
Oh.
Yeah. Fancy. It's one of their all metal ones. So it has some heft and girth to it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. And so this box in here is there's some paper. I was just going to chuck that. But it sounds like there's something wrapped up in it. What is this? Magnetic vice jaws. So, how strongly magnet are they?
I don't know. I don't think they're super magnetic because I believe what it is, it's magnetic with rubber. on it.
Interesting.
So you stick the magnets onto the vice jaws, and now you have a rubberized section instead of metal.
That's really cool. Okay, yeah, I definitely needed some of these.
So you don't, if you're going to do, you know, so if you're putting anything in the vise that you don't want to scar up or scratch or anything, yeah, or is not, or the metal might hurt, you can slap these on there.
Yeah.
And now you got a rubberized vise.
That's really cool. Yeah, I've had a, God, what was I working on? I don't remember what it was, but I was like, man, I need to like put a towel or something in the vise to keep it from marring everything. Yeah, and
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, so these are neat. So it's essentially an aluminum rail with magnets attached to the backside and a rubber on the front side. And then you attach the magnets onto your vise.
Yep.
And then it gives your vise rubber
some rubber surfaces. Grippy.
Yeah, that's neat. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, definitely be making use of these.
Yeah, I figured I'd rather give you something to use instead of waste.
Waste? Like a screwball? Screwball never goes to waste.
No, I was going not screw. Screwball will go to waste at my house now.
Yeah.
I should just bring the, I think I have a bottle. I'll bring it over here.
Perfect.
Also, I wanted to, since we're talking about gifts and stuff, mm-hmm. B. Murphy sent us something in the mail.
I knew what these are then.
Did he send you some?
No, oh, I don't think so.
Here, hold out your hand then. I've already looked through them.
Yeah. So these are some stickers that he has made and come up with.
Yeah, they're good.
He started a whole Instagram of them.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So what's that name of that Instagram?
I have no idea.
Okay, look it up while I'm explaining these stickers here. So the stickers are funny because his whole thing is not necessarily making fun of Overlanders, but making fun of some of the stuff that Overlanders spend money on, which we also do the same. And so there's a maxi pad traction board, and it has little strips of duct tape on it. So if you ever need to go and take your maxi pads on a trip with you, you can just buy one of these stickers and stick it onto your vehicle, and then you've got a maxi pad duct tape to your vehicle. So that's the first one. The next one is the one of those roto packs.
Yeah.
Which I believe either you or somebody else destroyed one on the patron snow trip, snow wheeling trip.
Somebody else.
Yeah, we can't explain how I got destroyed, but
did it get destroyed?
Yeah. So
wasn't me.
Roto packs, another one of those funny items. Yeah. another one of those little funny items that people like to spend money on. So and then there's a really neat little sticker. It says 12 ounce vacation, and it's just a can of beer with some palm trees coming out the top. And then I don't get this one. I mean, it's a cool little design, but I don't understand. I'm not sure how to describe it either.
I'm not sure. I don't know what its meaning is, but it's a hand that's facing up, like you're looking at the palm, mm-hmm. and then that has a mouth on it, and then mm-hmm. it's missing a finger.
Yeah.
It's just a cool design.
It's a fun little design. So, Brian is he's great at designing stuff, great graphic design artist, and he's got some stickers out and available. So, and that Instagram account you can see them at is I Am Overlander.
Yes, all one word.
All one word.
He doesn't have them all up, though.
Mm. He has another one with those funny little, like, mini shovels.
Mm-hmm.
He's got another one with the duct tape and the mini shovel. Essentially, by putting a mini shovel, a roto packs, and a maxi pad on your rig, you become an instant Overlander.
Yes.
And you can do that with stickers.
Should put those on the side window of Charlotte and call myself an Overlander.
Yeah. So, thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
They're fun.
All right.
Little goodies there.
All right. So, birthdays are done. Gifts are done. So let's move on to reviews.
All right. So reviews, we are doing reviews. Every 50 reviews we get here, we do a swag pack giveaway from the reviews that have been placed so far. So as long as you place a review, you're automatically entered for swag packs. And then at 500 reviews, once you reach 500, We are giving away a winch, a 9,000-pound rough country winch, and we are currently at 376.
Ooh.
376. So
creeping we're in creeping on that into 400.
The 400. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. The next review up here is from B Lira 05.
Hey, B Lira, thanks.
It says, cool podcast, 5 stars. Doing this from my stepdaughter's phone. Winch entry number 4.
You know, all these people that enter multiple times.
Yeah.
I sure hope they remember the other people's usernames.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, that would be a big thing to remember.
Because if somebody wins, if one of your aliases wins, you need to know who it is.
Yes. Yeah, especially this person. Because the next review is from Podcast Fan 17, and it says, winch entry number 5, ... I think, from the same person, Alex.
Nice.
So 2 back-to-backs from Alex there. Yeah, you guys can enter as many times as you want into the winch giveaway. So as many times as you can leave a review, that's how many times you get to enter. So mm-hmm. It's all up to how many iTunes accounts you can have access to.
He has a 1 in 100 chance right now.
Oh, that is true.
To winning a winch.
Yeah, he's probably got the best odds right now.
Maybe.
Next one up is from SpecV25.
What up, SpecV?
Says, makes me wish I visited California more. It says, great podcast. I love to hear all that Tyler and Jimmy get into. They provide great information on tech and execution of good practices on the trail. Listening to them makes me want to visit California more. So
just visit, though.
Just visit. Yeah.
Nobody can afford to live here.
No. And last one up for today is from Sweet Brown 80.
Sweet Brown 80.
I think if that's the same person who has that or a similar name on Instagram, that's pretty cool because he has a really nice FJ80. Anyways, it says, best Toyota tech trail talk that you can get. Stumbled onto the podcast when you did the comms deep dive and have been hooked ever since.
That's the first person I've ever heard say that.
No, everybody says that, Jimmy.
No.
Yes.
Not by our download rates.
No, that might be the least downloaded episode. It says the interview with Ian was all time. Well, you guys are in luck. But anyways, he goes on to say, fun story. Way back in the day, I shot y'all an IG message to interview Ian. Now here we are. Not saying I'm the reason y'all did it. Also not saying I'm not.
Nice.
So... yeah, we have another interview with that guy, that weirdo, the break everything and just kind of fix it as you get your way home is coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully you guys will enjoy listening to Ian again. He is a lot of fun. So, okay, that does it for reviews for today.
All right.
So. Let's get into voicemails.
Sounds
good. Keep this rolling on here.
We have a few voicemails?
We do have a few voicemails.
Cool.
So really quick, before we get into voicemails, I guess this is going to be more of a feedback.
Okay.
Listener feedback section of the podcast. So the listener feedback part of the episode here, we had Bruce write in. Regarding the episode about the California State Parks getting opening up for OHV usage.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently the Tesla property out near Carnegie had nothing to do with Tesla, the company.
Oh.
Well, okay. At least not not the Tesla company that we all know about.
Right. They all are related to Tesla.
Mm-hmm. In one way or another.
Chris said something like this too.
Yeah. And I don't know, according to the history that Bruce drummed up, there was no mention about the Tesla property being named after any roads called Tesla. Mm. There may have been a road that went through the town of Tesla that was named Tesla Road, but that didn't come up at all in the history that Bruce drummed up here. Yeah. So. Bruce found a really cool history about an old coal mining town called Tesla that was located roughly 5 miles or so from the town of Carnegie, which was a big brick manufacturing town in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so the town of Tesla that fell apart, and I think it was the 1911s when they shut down the coal mining, 1910, 1911, right around there, according to the history here. So that town of Tesla is the where the property lies that they were trying to purchase and get added into the Carnegie property for Carnegie SVRA. So that whole place, that whole area there had been an industrial brick production, coal mining production for quite a while at the turn of the century there, and then kind of went dormant as Carnegie shut everything down. And it finally got purchased and opened back up for OHV usage in 1979.
Oh, wow. So,
1979 is when the Carnegie property opened up for Carnegie SVRA. So thank you, Bruce, for sending that over. I thought it was a really neat little piece of history to add to the story of what's going on there with California State Parks.
Yeah, so, that is interesting. And then Chris followed up with saying that there was a Tesla road out in that area that went by the property also.
Yeah.
And that they didn't expand. He was saying that they didn't expand the... or open the area up for off-road use because there was a lot of Indian artifacts in that area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I just looked up Tesla Road, and there is a Tesla Road in Livermore.
Oh, nice. So. Okay.
Chris wasn't lying.
Yeah. So, cool stuff. Cool history there from everybody. Thanks for writing in, guys. And then we also have some voicemails with some more listener feedback. So let's get into the first one here. It is from one of our favorite Land Rovers.
A regular caller.
A regular caller. So here he goes. I don't know if we got Don or Donnie this time, but we'll figure it out here, I think, pretty shortly.
Mr. Jimmy Jet, it's your favorite Rover guy, Don, here. I'm listening to Friday's episode. I think it was 832.64 or whatever. And you're carrying on about trying to fit tires and what tires and everything. You've got to take a lesson from the boys over at Total Off-Road Podcast and just remember their motto: more sawzall, less thinking. Those 40s will fit. And I know you've got a set of 40s sitting in the shop just begging to go to Moab. So more sawzall, less thinking. Just remember that. More sawzall, less thinking.
Sounds good.
I guess that's a good rule of life to live by. I agree. Yeah,
I guess he wants me to ruin a set of tires, huh?
Yeah.
We'll just have some really sharp edges on this sawzall cut that it could go into some tires.
Right. Okay. So after that, I guess he called right back.
Oh, okay.
And had some more to say to us here.
I have to apologize. I think that's actually more sawzall, less research. But the point stands. Just start cutting. It will fit eventually. Talk to you later.
It's all true.
It is true.
I guess it's just truth. How you want to have your vehicle look.
Yeah. Right. All right. So thank you, Donnie, for calling in. We do have a third caller, I guess second caller, third call.
Okay.
That came in as well from one of our good buddies over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Oh, no.
Who doesn't ever go wheeling anymore. Like, neither of them have been wheeling in a while.
I wonder if he's correcting us on Tesla.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. It seems like a pretty short one. Let's see what he has to say here.
Okay.
The Snail Trail Cuddle Club hosted by Jimmy. I love it. Oh, my God. Whatever.
What? The Snail what? Trail what?
Cuddle Club?
The Snail Trail Cuddle Club hosted by Jimmy. I love it. Oh, my God. Whatever.
Okay, there you go. Chris Maines, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't remember what that's to.
I don't either. He'll have to call back and give an explanation.
Was it maybe the when we were interviewing Sean and you Sean, were saying maybe? How we were we're all going to have a date with the movie pack?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember.
That's the only thing I could think of. I mean, drunk Jimmy gets a little cuddly, but everybody knows that.
Yeah. So. That's funny. Chris, you might have to explain that one to us next time we see you.
Right.
That's awesome. But yeah, I mean, we could start a cuddle club.
I think he wants to be a part of it. I think he's a little jealous.
Yeah, I know. So I think he gets an automatic entry.
He does. Yeah. He's like a big teddy bear.
Yeah, absolutely. So. We just cuddle up in the back of his YJ.
His YJ? There's no room back there.
Exactly. Maybe it,
oh. Gotcha. that's funny. I would say you can cuddle up in the Dodge, but you need something that runs so that you can have heat. So
I don't know why he couldn't drive it around. I was thinking about that. Like, he pulled his front drive shaft out, and then he was saying he can't drive it.
Yeah, that
so
was
I
wonder weird.
If, I don't know. Like, I don't know how it's sealed on the front. You know, if he would drive it around, if oil would come out. But yeah,
I was curious about that. I would imagine he just pulled it off by pulling the U joint ears or the U joint. U-bolts, whatever, hold the U-joint to the flange.
Yeah, I don't
know. Caps, I guess.
I mean, I guess we could go look at the photo of the of the axle shaft, but
maybe.
Yeah, I was kind of curious, like, why.
Well, he said that he did go drive it around with the front drive shaft off, I thought.
Right.
And that he didn't have any vibrations. That's how he figured out he it was the drive shaft.
Yeah, hear it whining and grinding. But then he was saying how he wasn't driving the Dodge around anymore. But maybe it's because he got that Chevy. Maybe. Also, so, I don't know.
All right. Anyways, I don't question people's decisions. I just cheer them on.
Yay.
All right. So, let's see. We had, I don't know, for this last weekend, I finally, put together my drawers on the trailer that have been living in my head for a while and confusing everybody, apparently.
Yes, I saw them.
So you did see them. You saw the video.
Yes.
Does that all make sense now? Better?
Sure.
How? Okay.
It makes sense. Like, I understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have done it that way personally, but
okay,
it's not my trailer. Okay. So I'm just applauding you.
Okay. Thank you. Don't question my decisions. Yeah. So I put a video out on Instagram of how I finally did the drawers. And so I have three drawers on either side of the back galley area, right? The cabinet space in the back of the trailer. I have two columns.
Right.
And there's three drawers, three pullouts in each column.
Three pullouts.
The top pullout is essentially a countertop that is right up against the underneath the top of the cabinet, right? So you pull that out
and extends
the cabinet, essentially the top of the cabinet. And then underneath that is a drawer that with no lid or anything. And it has about a 3-inch lip on it all the way around to keep things from rolling around.
How tall is it from the top bottom of that drawer to the top of your pullout counter? Or to the bottom of the pullout counter. How much room?
4 inches.
4 inches,
roughly.
From the bottom. So you can stick like a can or something in there.
I mean, to the bottom of the, essentially about a can. That's about right.
So we can fill that up with like, would Coors Lights be too tall?
No, I think those would work. Coronas would be too tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The idea is that stuff like towels or rag or something or smaller dry goods items would go in there.
Loaf of bread.
Yeah, something like that. So that was the idea for those two drawers, and that's on either side. And then underneath that is the big deep drawers that have the lids that cover them. And stuff that'll go in there is going to be stuff that we definitely want to stay clean from any dirt intrusion that might come in through the door, which shouldn't be a whole lot because it's pretty much all weather and watertight and sealed except for the top. It's not watertight. We just have a drip bar across so that rain can't come in through there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know if how well it'll keep dust out of there.
Got it.
From coming in that little slot. So I finished up the drawers. I really like the way it came out. And they turned out really sturdy. I really like using a nail gun.
Yes.
Those are fun. Yeah. And I like using my speed square from Crescent. So, turned out really well. Everything turned out nice and square, which was a nice benefit. So along with that, I also, took apart the door panel, again, so I can get into the inside structure of the door. And I was trying to figure out how I wanted to set up the bracket to hold the door shelf. Yeah. And so I ended up taking a 1.5-inch square tube, 2-inch square tube, maybe. I think it might be 2 inches, roughly that much. So 2 inches.
It's 8 inches.
That's 8 inches. Man, never mind. Not going to go there. So anyways, 2-inch square tubing, and I cut off the top one whole side of it and then 3/4 of another side. So it comes down like an L bracket and then has a lip on the end of the L, right?
Yep.
And so that lip is 1/2 inch, the same thickness of the plywood that I'm using. And so then I took and welded 2 3/4-inch steel square tubings into the structure of the door, and then welded those brackets to those square tubings into the structure. So the only thing sticking out through the paneling will be the bottom of the L bracket and the little lip. So that'll come out through the paneling, and then you'll just hook one of the lids from the big drawer onto that bracket, and then I'm going to put a little pieces of chain hanging down to secure it in that way.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wondering if there's, not that it matters too much because you're not really moving around. You're not inside the trailer when it's moving around, so you don't need to worry about the chain bouncing around and making noise as you're driving.
No.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that's my thought. We'll never be in the trailer while it's moving around, so I don't really care if it flops. And
right. And if you are in the trailer when it's moving around, then you've got another problem. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. I've got other problems than a chain dangling around. But it took some precise measurements getting the bracket set up so that that little L in the lip went between the drawers when the door closed.
Right.
So closes up. Everything's just fine now. So
cool.
Yeah. That's almost done. I also ordered up a 200 amp hour battery, lithium ion battery, and I have a 350 watt solar panel ready to be picked up as well.
Cool.
So that all came in. Let's see, some stuff, other fun things started showing up from a new vendor that we started working with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Iron Man 4x4.
Ooh, something showed up?
Yeah, something that I didn't know was included with this. Oh. So, remember how I said I've been talking about I have to wait till I get an awning to set up the exterior accessory lighting?
Yes.
Apparently, this awning that we got from Iron Man 4x4 comes with exterior accessory lighting.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So all the lighting just randomly showed up. And I was like, what is all this? I started opening it up and I was like, it's from Iron Man 4x4. And I was like, these are lights. They sent us lights too? And I was like really confused about it all. Okay. And then I went through and looked back through the full description of that awning that we got, the 270 degree awning. And it does say that it comes with accessory lighting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll return one of your gifts.
Yeah. No, I could use more lights. Put more lights up. So, with the 200 amp hour battery, I'm going to be setting up essentially 350 watts of permanent solar and then 100 watts of mobile solar that I can move around. But with 200 amp hours of battery, we should be able to run whatever we want. And I'll also end up putting a hookup on the tongue of the trailer to hook it into the 4Runner or the F-150 or whatever I'm driving at the time hauling the trailer behind, just in case we need to recharge the battery. The solar isn't keeping up with it just due to bad weather or whatever. We can hook it into a vehicle.
Oh, cool.
And charge it off of the vehicle's alternator. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Can you do that through a 7-pin or you have to run additional wires?
You have to run additional wires.
Okay.
Yep. So you got to run additional wires and do a DC to DC charger or DC to DC. It's not an inverter. DC converter? To DC power supply, I guess. Converter. Yeah. So it just regulates it to whatever amperage your DC to DC is rated at. So I'm going to put in get a 40 or 50 amp solar charger. And then I need to get, probably I'll do like a 20 or 30 amp DC to DC. Off of a vehicle. So
regulator,
I guess it'd be a regulator. Yeah. So, I get to set all that up once that all comes in.
Cool.
And we're just waiting on the awning. Once the awning is here, then I can set up the exterior accessory lighting.
Yeah.
But pretty much once that awning, it's a pretty badass awning.
Dude, I'm so excited for that awning.
I know, me too. It's a 270 degree awning that has no kickstands. So it just kind of unfolds and goes from one side of the trailer all the way around the back. So we'll have it cover kind of the entrance to the sleeping area side of the trailer. And then it'll go all the way back around and cover the kitchen galley out of the back of the trailer. And there's no kickstands off it. It's all supported based on the brackets that you put up and hang the awning from.
Yeah.
And then since it also comes with exterior lighting too, that's just a big bonus on everything.
Huge bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're excited to be working with Iron Man 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some fun little things planned with them, and this mm-hmm. awning is one of the first steps for us.
Yep.
And so we're going to be talking about it and showing it off and highlighting it.
Yeah, and so it's a brand new awning from them. So as we get it installed and get to go take it out and use it, we'll give you guys feedback on it and see if it's worth its price tag. But so far, especially with all the extra, like 5 boxes of lights showed up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are they like little strip lights that you're going to put underneath?
Do you essentially, know how they go? They're like 6-inch bars. Oh, right.
Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly how, if they're like, I got to wait for the awning to show up to see if there's spots under the awning that you're supposed to hook it all into, or if it's just like excess that you get to install however, wherever you want
yeah.
underneath the awning. So I got to see how that whole mounting systems works with the lights and the awning. Cause I can't imagine with 6-inch bar light bars that you can have them attached to the awning and stow the awning.
Right.
So
no, exactly. Yeah.
But pretty cool. Really well thought out so far nice. From everything I've seen from it. So just once the awning gets here, we'll get all that installed and put up and get you guys some feedback on it.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to say about Iron Man 4x4 is I knew that they did suspension stuff, but I had no idea the vast amount of products that they have.
They have so much. They I didn't realize either.
So much. They have like yeah. tons of camping supplies, tons of camping tools, mm-hmm. and then all kinds of bumpers and winches and you know, skid plates and rock sliders and suspension lifts.
There's a lot of stuff, man,
for yeah. Many different types of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so if you know, we're gonna be trying out and testing a bunch of this stuff, and then I think in the here soon we're gonna have a discount code for them for you guys as well.
We have one.
It's we got it
for the astute listener that pays close attention. It's been in the show notes for about the past month now.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, just go over to Iron Man 4x4, the American site. So they've been around Australia for quite a while, and they just started getting over into the United States market, and they're really trying to push the United States market and the brand of Iron Man 4x4, which is a really good brand. They're taking a lot of the things that they've designed, developed, and tested in Australia and bring it over here to the States finally. So it's going to be really, I think, exciting to see a lot of the stuff that they come out and do here in the States, especially because talking with their marketing, their R&D, their engineers, their designers, there's some things that Australians like to do and some things that Americans like to do, and they don't always overlap very well. And so they're taking the products that they know work in Australia, and they're tweaking them with how they know Americans like to use their vehicles, which is pretty cool for them to kind of go and, I don't want to say reinvent their product lineups, but they're making changes specifically for the American markets, because there are little things here and there that we like to do differently from our Australian
friends.
I don't know. That's too close of a word.
Acquaintances.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Especially that Aaron guy.
Right?
Aaron.
Yeah. I'm not friends with him.
Yeah, I'm not either.
He was a convict.
It's true. It's from the Alabama side of Australia. Oh, that map's hilarious. We'll have to get that posted over on the Snail Squad forum on Irate.
Charles, you can press that.
There you go.
Point to where Aaron's from.
That was hilarious. So, yeah, we got some really cool stuff showing up from Iron Man 4x4. There is a 20% off discount code, which is a pretty big discount for if you guys are looking for anything. And they do have a lot of stuff. So go check them out. Go check out Iron Man 4x4. That discount code is SnailTrail20. So SnailTrail20 will get you 20% off. So go check it out. Say hi to them. Tell them that we said hi in return. And yeah, let us know if you guys have any questions on that or any questions that we can pass along to Iron Man that you guys want answered. And we can answer them on the podcast for you. So I think that about does it. That has everything. That's the stuff that I got ready.
So. Yeah, I think that's enough. I mean, that was a lot of catch up and information this week. So,
oh, I did get some 10.5-inch housings, but we can cover that in another episode. I'm just really excited about them.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that about does it for this episode. There was a lot of information for housekeeping stuff. We've had some really fun episodes as of late, and so we kind of had to spend an episode here getting caught up with housekeeping stuff. So now that we're caught up, go back to our normal, regular scheduled programming. Monday, we're going to have a fun interview here for you guys that has to do with National Welding Month. So hopefully you guys are enjoying what we're putting out. And with that, you guys can send any and all feedback over to the Grams of Instaland. You guys know what those are. And also over on email at jimmy or tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. And you can call in. You can be like Donnie and Chris and get in on the Snail Trail Cuddle Fest led by Jimmy Jet.
Boom, chicka wow wow.
So you can do that over at 916-345-4744. And with that, Mr. Cuddle, sir, yourself, do you have any final words for everybody?
Have you heard anything about episode 249?
I did, actually. But you know what? In the meantime, we got to go crawling. So everybody, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Do you really?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you know there's three type of people in this world?
I did.
Yeah.
What kind of people are they, though?
Those that can count and those that can't.
What about the third one?
Those are the only two.
But you said there's three. I'm confused. Does that make me a third person? Or does that make me someone who can't count?
I don't know.
I don't know.